particularly important to the home and family. The theme of it is the idea of growing a spiritual garden in the family. When it's been lost, people don't do it spiritually much in their home and family. What can we do to bring that back to the family so that they'll enjoy the presence of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord as they go through life? Brother Danny Butler will lead off tonight. He's from the Kingsville congregation out from Millport, Alabama. And Brother Danny went back to school in his older days and got himself an advanced degree in family counseling type of work. And wonderful has been the success of it. We've enjoyed his presentation very much and look forward to his speaking now to us tonight.
Encouraging our children to be spiritual. There's a difference in educating our children and teaching them spiritually. The greatest sadness beside death for a parent is to see our children lose interest in the spiritual things or what they were taught at home. Many a parent grieves tremendously because their children are not, it's not the case that they're not hardworking, law-abiding citizens of the county in which they live, but they have lost interest in the charms and spiritual things. So, is there an ironclad set of rules that we can draw up? Say, do this, and this, and this, and this, and it'll all work out. No, there is not. And I'm going to tell you why. Satan does not play with the rules. He knows every man, woman, boy, and girl's weakness, and he's an expert at exploiting that weakness. So it seems insurmountable. You are competing, your parent and grandparents, against Satan. You're molding an individual that has its own personality and developing system, value system. The young man is working, going to be with the at the camp. He's working with a whole group of people that are, every one of them are different. Every one of them have a different personality. But I don't know if the parents, your child has your DNA, but he's not you. She's not you. The challenge is great. Your influence will definitely affect their thinking and their development, but so will his environment, her environment. There are some parent things that parents can do, and some things that they dare not do. Spirituality is in the heart. It's in the heart of man, therefore we're talking about the heart. Let's speak just very briefly about the developing child. And often it takes natural inclination or preference. He was born with a propensity. Every person is born with a propensity, one way or the other. Their development and their input, the way they're taught and influenced, determines which way they go. A child only knows that it needs. It does not know what or how. Dr. Spock, Star Trek, the movie. It explores, it asks questions, it experiments with its own five senses. It observes those around them and attempts to emulate their sounds and actions. So we have a challenge, parents. What is that challenge? And here's where we may often come short. The challenge is directing the thoughts and actions of our child without driving them away. Did you know that Paul talked about that very thing? Any problems, provoke not your children to the wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then in Colossians 3:12, he says, fathers, provoke your children, not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That word provoke in the Greek is key. Present imperative meaning to excite. In other words, it means to irritate by exacting commands and perpetual fault-finding. In fear's, for in fear's sake. Now there's a consequence for this kind of addressing the issues. The exercise of authority. The child then becomes discouraged, in other words, his spirit is broken. And since he does is constantly criticized, he loses hope of ever being able to please. Yet the parent has a God-given responsibility to teach and train that child. That's our challenge here. In all this, Satan will be relentless to be active in destroying both the child and you. Where does all this begin? I'm often asked the question, when do you start spiritually training a child? Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. God is speaking to the parent. But he also said, and because we said this, we know he's talking to parents. Teach these things to your children. Notice, God said with all your heart, soul, and mind. Children, listen to me. Children observe and mimic parents in word and deed. They observe and mimic their peers, those around them, people on TV, movie stars, so-called heroes. The parents' influence will be either positive or negative as it is observed by that child. Our challenge is to direct our children's lives and in their hearts to discern whether the parent is happy with what they're doing. In other words, is mom and daddy, are they true? Does this really mean something to them, or is it something they're just telling me to do? What's their descriptions? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou standest up, risest up. Education of the scripture is priority in the home. The teaching is to be thoroughly and consistent. Fathers are to be responsible for this education. Proverbs 22:6, Ephesians 6:4, Colossians 3. The Bible says in Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from our children, showing this generation to come the praises of the Lord. Did you catch that? As a father, I want to show my child the praises of the Lord. I don't want just to educate him in Hebrews 10:25, Matthew 18. No. I want it to mean something to him. I want to get in his heart. Spiritual training should begin early. How soon can a child recognize his environment? I've heard older people through the years, some 45 years of preaching. There's no need to bring a child to church until he's 5, 6 weeks old or 6 months old. They don't know anything. Wrong. It begins with infancy. The child can recognize his surroundings by sounds and atmosphere. Family gatherings, it can recognize aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpa. It can recognize that it's in a surrounding such as a department store. If you don't believe it, take some small child by the toy department and let them see what's on the shelf. They know what's there. According to research, within 2 or 3 months, the child of the baby will recognize people and places they come in contact on a regular basis. Did you catch it? What infants learn from watching us. An article written by Andrew Meslow, Department of Psychology, University of Washington. What he's saying is, the places, the sounds, the people, the child recognizes at the age of 2 to 3 months. They know they're at church or at a worship facility. Let's say that. That's a more scriptural way to say it. Therefore, children become familiar with spiritual environment very early. teaching and training children is to be done with joy and anticipation. Attitude and expression of parent affects the child's response. Religious instruction, listen closely. Religious instruction and spiritual development are two different concepts. Religious instruction instructs in beliefs, Bible verses, memorizing his Bible verses, knowing about the church, the establishment of the church. God is the creator, the things of that nature. That's religious instruction. Spiritual development is a more historic concept involving the integration of beliefs and statutes into one's thinking. That's where we fall short. These are intangible elements to direct one's life. Understanding the difference between religious instruction and spiritual development of a young child will go a long way in helping them to understand how to foster a child's spiritual development. It will also help to inform and guide the process of religious instruction.
Our next speaker is Sean O'Neill, the newest caretaker for Sardis Lake Christian Camp. He deals with people who are a little bit advanced in age, and yet they need home development of spirituality. Sean O'Neill.
I see how Brother Robert has put this into practice in his own life. I think back to, I know all three of his children. I went to school with them. I was attended free at some point in time with them. We have a gentleman here that raised these children, sent them all to school on a preacher's salary. And he didn't just raise his children. They're now productive members of the church, raising their own productive members of the church. That's a legacy. That's growing a garden. And it really makes me think of what I have to do in my life. My topic tonight is simpler. I'm going to speak to you a little bit about what happens and relate this to camp and my experience with children. But my past experience in Northern California was in the homeless ministry. We worked with addicted individuals. I was taking care of children after they had left the home and were adults. We ran somewhat of a summer camp for adults is what it came out being. These were individuals that, for whatever reason, had left and had gotten into drug, alcohol, all types of addictions. And we come to the mission, and we always have to say, nobody came to the mission on a good day. When you wound up there, it was after you had burned through your family, your friends, your acquaintances. That's when you wound up in the mission. You were broke. You were tired. You were on your last little bit of anything. Saw many, many people led to Christ there because that's where they would come. That was their last resort. We couldn't help Christ here. That speaks to the importance of raising your children and how they should be brought up. I saw many families, and it was heartbreak after heartbreak, moms and dads bringing young adults in their 20s and their 30s, in their 40s, to the mission. We were their last hope. They didn't know what else to do. They couldn't help them anymore. It was heartbreak for the family. It was heartbreak for the individual. It was heartbreak for us. And we were tasked with bringing them back to the foundations of what they needed to do, which was be safe. That was what we had to instill in them. We could tell them real quick, we could clean them up on the outside, but it was going to take the Lord to clean them up on the inside. And that's what they had to work on. And so that was my experience there. We fed 14,000 meals a month, 4,000 bed nights a month. That gives you any idea of the need that was out there for that. we had an 80-person in-house drug treatment. That was just 80 people living there full-time trying to get their lives back. So I say all that to say that summer camp is a place where your kids can go and hang out with y'all if they need to hang out with. Work with the individuals. Learn. Cultivate that. Raising these children up to serve the Lord, serve the church, work in this area. Those things are key and fundamental. Those are some of the things that we hope to instill at camp. I hope to take my operational skills, apply that at camp so that we have something of that nature going full-time for kids in this area, in the surrounding areas. I provided the one thing in the Bible when we talked, we want to have a verse. I look at the book of Joshua chapter 4, and this is after they crossed and they're getting ready to take the city. And the Lord had them build a monument of stones. And this is, he spoke to the children of Israel, this is chapter 4, verse 21. He spoke to the children of Israel saying, when the children ask their fathers the time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, get them across over the Jordan, over this Jordan on the dry land. These stones were set up as a monument, a memory place. The parents are tasked with one thing. Bring your children back to this spot. Tell them the story. Remind them who we are and what we are. Just as everyone was coming in, we were talking about our ancestry and our past and where we came from. Letting your children know that and giving them a place to grow up and have a past. That's a key element, a key foundation to raising children, starting a spiritual garden. Having that monument, that stone set up, that we can go back and remind the family of. And hopefully, Lord willing, and some hard work, that's something we'll set up this hard slate. So,
we can see from these first two lessons that you do not gain spirituality by never discussing it, by never talking about it. Encourage people to pray, think of God in His right way, consult the Lord in regard to problems and difficulties that we face. His eyes are ever over the righteous, and His ears are subject to their prayers.